Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and love from the Lord Jesus. Amen. From the book of Galatians, the third chapter, the following words are our text for tonight. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. The words must have fallen like a brick on the ears of the people acquainted with the Greco-Roman civilization and culture, the people in Galatia. The Apostle Paul is quite familiar with that culture, and it is a highly hierarchical society. They were all tied up in knots about who was who. Who was at the top of the pecking order and had money and fame and possession and influence and position, and who didn't count for anything. Do you know that Socrates, Diogenes, even Josephus had a prayer, a daily blessing that they said? It went something like this: Lord, I thank you for making me a Greek and not one of these brutes, the uncivilized people. Number two clause of the prayer: I thank you for making me a man and not a woman. Can you believe it? And then they would say, Lord, thank you for making me a free man and not a slave. Josephus went so far as to say, yeah, truly, there are two types of humans, males and females. As if the females were less in any respect than the males. Steps in Christ Jesus and says, no, that is not so. And he equalized us again from the very beginning, just because men usually were endowed by the Creator with more muscles than the women. They tried to prove their superiority, succeeding only in proving the opposite, their inferiority. Paul is aware of this, and so he drops the bomb. There is no Greek or Jew or Gentile or believer or male or female, or free, or slave. In Christ Jesus, we are all one. Put that in your coffee and drink it, Paul said. And they could not believe it. In Christ, we are clothed in righteousness. We are humans, and we become spiritually divine. We are declared righteous by a holy God that has no sin, and we who specialize in sin are washed, renewed, and healed, and given hope. For them, this was something completely new. You know, the world around 1200, well, up to 1100, and a little bit later, was a mess. Until the Renaissance, at least, in which there were the barons and the elite and the noblemen and all of those people, the sheriffs. And then there was the king. And the king of England really abused his power. Richard the Lionhead, just read a few paragraphs of his biography and it makes you sick to your stomach. And then comes about his little brother, landless or lackland, John Lackland. And John has at least enough sense to say, look, we cannot go on with the king on one side and the nobility of the people on another side. And so John asked a colleague of mine, actually, the Bishop of Canterbury, a clergy, a pastor, to write a letter. They called it the Great Letter. In Latin, Magna Carta. That's what you and I have, the Magna Carta. And in a way, until today, we say that all the constitutions of the lands of the world are somehow based on the Magna Carta. The Magna Carta was mainly to protect the elite. It did not even talk about the people. It did not even talk about the humble, those that were slaves or those that had no big time land. And it basically said that the king has no longer the right to imprison unjustly any one of those. Richard the Lionhead could send to prison or put to death anyone he wanted. Well, that in a way had not changed. But the Magna Carta prescribed parts for the king and parts for the barons, the elite. Both failed in doing their part, so it was a big disaster. It was then improved later on, and now they are living in peace in England, finally. There was a problem among the people of God. God was holy, and you and I sinners. So God writes his own Magna Carta. But things in God's Magna Carta read like, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Another paragraph from God's Magna Carta. And the angel said to the shepherds, do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Another paragraph from God's Magna Carta, the just shall live by faith. For we recognize that no one is justified before the law. And another one, for you are saved by grace through faith. This is not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Not by works, lest anyone should boast. God's Magna Carta is about grace and love and forgiveness and adoption. For that reason, he sent his Son, so that we could be all wrapped up in Christ, in one body. The Bible even says that Christ is the groom and the church is his bride, or that he is the head and we are his body. There is no disconnect between the head and the body, because if there is, both suffer. But Christ is one with the church. And so Paul says to the there is neither Jew nor Greek nor slave nor free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. This is marvelous news for you and me until today. Truly one. Not separate, but one. While preparing this very message, late last week, I received an email from Jim and Sue Kaiser in Ethiopia, feeling threatened wherever they go to proclaim the gospel, because they are different, they don't fit in. They are white, they drive a car, they have money. And so they are stopped, and time again, the Holy Spirit just gives them the right words to talk themselves out, and in exchange of a few dollars, they go free. But every time they leave the home to go to yet another village, they are always in danger. They are one with Christ. They believe this so much that Christ wants to be one with everyone that they throw caution to the wind and they put their own lives on the line in order to proclaim the gospel. They know, like you and I, the process of faith is simple. It is the result of words or sacrament. The word of God or the sacraments of God, or both in our case. Faith elevates the humble and brings down the proud. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar had a big title, King of Babylon. But Daniel had faith. And who came out the winner? Nebuchadnezzar had a big title, King of Babylon. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had faith. Who came out alive? And about whom are we talking today? Mr. and Mrs. Ahaz, his wife Jezebel, the royals of Israel, king and queen of Israel. But Elijah had faith. Faith conquered. And the 450 prophets of Baal were put to death because after a whole day of crying and squealing and dancing around their altar, Baal would not ignite their sacrifice. And at the end of the day, Elijah said, let's put a special touch on my sacrifice here that was laying on the wood on the altar. So they doused it with 120 gallons of water. And Elijah, of faith, says, Lord, show to them who the only true God is. And bam, fire comes down from heaven. Not only burns up the wood and the flesh of the sacrifice, it laps up the water and burns the stones to ashes. Joseph in Egypt was a nobody, but he had faith. And when he eventually was thrown into prison by Potiphar and Pharaoh's subordinates, at the end, he comes out smelling like a rose because he has faith. And Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and Potiphar, chief of police. Faith always conquers. It brings down the proud. And faith frees us from sin and death and from every attack that you and I suffer through life. Physical, emotional, or spiritual. Makes no difference. We stand on our faith and we tell Satan, bring it. And we point to the cross. That settles it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which is greater than all human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.